Gibson. It's time now for another God Talk. Pastor Rick, it's good to see you.
Hey, it's great to be here.
Yes, so well, nice to see the sun shining today as well. That's a bit of a plus. Kind of forgot what that was like.
Yeah, the sun shining, coming into town this morning, a lot of birds up flying.
Mm-hmm.
Hawks are out. You can tell it's fall.
Yeah, oh, I think I even saw an eagle on one of the highways coming back from Regina a couple days ago.
Wonderful.
That was a sight to see.
They are. Mm-hmm. They are a wonderful bird to watch,
right,
and to see them flying around. And this is the season when we all start talking about the colors that we see all around us, the leaves being let go from the trees and falling down. We see the geese gathering and ready to fly away. Kids are going off to school. But there's one thing that I've noticed that maybe we don't pay a lot of attention to.
Okay.
Summer is over.
Officially tomorrow.
So we start putting on more clothes.
Okay. Yeah. Very true.
Maybe we can start this off simply by asking the question, which I did ask this question in the last church that I pastored on a Sunday evening when it was always open for discussion. I would come up with a question and people would discuss it, and then we would try to look at what is the biblical view on it. So the question, Jordan, that I want to ask you this morning is, why do we wear clothes?
Why do we wear clothes? Well, often it's to cover ourselves, but also at the same time to stay warm, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, I remember one lady in the congregation, she yelled out her answer, "We live in Saskatchewan." And we know what winter is like here.
Right.
We understand the aspect that we wear clothes because we want to keep our bodies warm. Some of us have things that we want to hide, and clothing helps us to be able to do that.
Sure, yeah.
I always smile that we wear clothes to hide things in the winter, but when summertime comes, we wear some of the skimpiest bathing suits that I've ever seen.
Well, I personally don't, but...
Yeah, well, good for you. the whole issue as to why do we wear clothes.
Yeah.
I want to give a suggestion or an idea this morning that hopefully our listeners will maybe take it farther than what I have in terms of thinking about it and trying to give some thought to understanding it. The first time we hear of clothing in Scripture, we have to go all the way back to Genesis.
Right.
And we go back to Genesis chapter 2, where Adam and Eve have sinned. And suddenly they look at themselves and they go, "We don't have anything on." We're naked.
Right.
Now they already have this guilty conscience.
Right.
That because of eating the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that God had told them not to eat from. And so one of the first things that they did after that was they went and found a tree with big leaves. At least in my mind, the way I think, I would want big leaves.
Probably, yeah.
Eve, it says, sewed together fig leaves to cover their loins. Now, Jordan, have you ever really felt leaves?
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
And what do they feel like?
Well, it obviously depends what kind of leaves that there are, but some are soft, but some more often than not kind of have that prickly nature to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fig leaves have that prickly nature to them. And I'm going, why would you want to wear something that's prickly, that's not comfortable, that and you've never worn clothes before, so maybe they didn't know what the covering is supposed to feel like.
Sure.
But they covered themselves up. Mm-hmm. Then we have God calling for them.
Right.
They are hiding. Doesn't really tell us where they're hiding in terms of whether they're behind trees or whether they're in bushes or whatever. They're just, it just says they're trying to prevent God from seeing them, preventing God from having a conversation with them about what had happened. And we know that God did talk with them, and that he gave the curses. And then God did something that maybe we don't spend a whole lot of time thinking about. And that is, God killed one of his own creation. In other words, the very first death in all of recorded history, scripture, is God killed one of his created animals in order to take the skin and make comfortable clothing for man, for Adam and Eve, the top of his creation, to cover them before he says, you are no longer welcome in the garden. You have to leave the garden. And then it says that God put a cherubim with a flaming sword at the gate to the garden so that they would never be able to get back in again. I'm wondering, this is just kind of Pastor Rick's wonderings as we think about things. God loved Adam and Eve so much, he was not willing to let them continue wearing fig leaves. God loved them so much, he provided a blood sacrifice. You can't take the skin off an animal without blood coming out.
True.
God was killed the first animal in order to get the skin to cover the nakedness of Adam and Eve. And we can also add to that the clothing we wear also gives us a bit of protection. Protection from the weather, all kinds of different things. God put this covering, this protection over Adam and Eve. God still loved Adam and Eve, even though they had disobeyed him. And perhaps every time we get dressed, perhaps we could remember what God did for us.
Right.
Because it is part of the foreshadowing of the sacrificial system, which is defined more clearly in the book of Leviticus, but we see foreshadowing of it in the book of Genesis, because we see the continual sacrifices being offered, and it was the animal sacrifices that were accepted, the blood sacrifices that were accepted. And it is the foreshadowing of God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son, whom John says He says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The Lamb whose blood was spilt out, was slain when he was beaten, when his back was ripped open, when the crown of thorns was pressed upon his head, and the blood began to run down. When he wept in prayer the night before, and it was as great drops of blood that fell from the agony that he was in. So his blood was shed so that he died on the cross to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from our sins, but also gives us that protection because now we are covered in the blood of Jesus Christ, those of us who have put our faith in him. Something special has happened. And I'm beginning to think every time I get dressed, I need to thank God that I have clothing to wear. And it reminds me of his tremendous love that he had for his creation. I'm sure that God loved his creation because Genesis tells us that when God had finished creating everything, he said, it is very good. And when God had to take that first animal and kill it, and skin it so that Adam and Eve would have clothes. I'm sure God wept over what he was doing to his creation that was very good. Oh, I'm just, as I think, then it begins when you begin to think about how God then wanted how the priests were to be dressed. God was very specific in what they were to wear. Again, I think that is kind of an indication of foreshadowing that God is very concerned about what we wear and how we wear it. God is concerned about our very appearance. There are so many warnings in Scripture about what we should or should not wear, about the way we portray ourselves to others, whether we are causing someone to be defrauded or not, or whether we are intentionally or unintentionally arousing interests in each other. God puts boundaries on that. God cares for us so much that he was willing to kill an animal, to cause the first death, because he loved man so much. And God does not change. His love for man and woman, for mankind, is still the number one priority in his thoughts.
Yeah. Well, and sacrifice too, just in general. Just the metaphor that it carries throughout the Scripture and the Word, and even to this day, here we are in 2018, is that the greatest love that someone can show for someone else is often through the act of sacrifice. Now, it's not necessarily life, but it's just, when someone gives up part of themselves, maybe it's their time, their talent, their, a variety of different things that one can sacrifice to put something else or someone else ahead of themselves, that is often some of the most loving action that a person can behold to someone else. It's the act of sacrifice to someone's self in terms of that way, putting their own interests aside first to put someone else at the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
And just, I never even realized it how much Genesis puts that at the forefront with some of those early stories, not even making the connection there to God, you know, killing the first animal, if you will, for man in that way. Of course, later on, it comes to Abraham, who's tasked with the most painful sacrifice of all, potentially, you know, taking the life of his own,
of his son.
Of course, God intervenes in that way. But the measure that, you know, going as so far to follow his instruction, if you will, for, you know, the greater good of man or whatever it may have been. But obviously Abraham did pass that test and, you know, taking something so much that he loved, but for, you know, God's will kind of thing, to just being able to put that first and foremost at the forefront. And often going back to Adam and Eve, I didn't realize it until I heard a pastor make the connection, just the amazing connections that you can make from that Adam and Eve story to just how things went differently in Christ's story, of how the sacrifice that, you know, God did for all of us in that way, you know, his own son, if you will, the Lamb of God, making that connection, and that connection to the Genesis story, and how, you know, when that first sin, if you will, took place, how they kind of left each other hanging, Adam and Eve did, didn't they?
They did.
How it's not my fault. It's someone else's fault. It's not my own decision. It was someone else who tricked me, or even blaming God himself. Well, you, if you hadn't put that there in the first place, we wouldn't have been in this mess kind of thing. How just right then and there, the whole concept of sacrifice was pretty foreign, or just even self-responsibility for that matter,
mm-hmm.
Realizing that, hey, this was my fault for what happened, or to that effect. How Adam, well, the greatest love a couple can show for each other is putting themselves in the face of danger to protect the other, if you will. How much more powerful it could have been if Adam had jumped in there and said, you know what? This was my fault, God. Instead, it was, look what you did, in terms of Eve, did to get us in this mess kind of thing. Totally in contrast to the example that God then started to show in terms of the literal lamb in the Genesis, or I guess not necessarily literal lamb, but just in terms of the actual animal there to later on in the New Testament with the Gospels, his own flesh and blood he sacrificed for us all.
Yeah. I mean, the scripture doesn't tell us what animal God killed, but I think it would be safe to imply that it was a lamb or a ram of the sheep family.
The concept of fleece, wool.
Fleece, the lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the
sure.
world, that we can make that connection there. I mean, people often say that God did not keep his word, because he had told Adam and Eve that if you eat from the fruit of the tree of the life of the knowledge of good and evil, thou will die. God could have wiped them out right then.
Mm.
In fact, I've had questions, why didn't God wipe them out right then and make another Adam and Eve? Instead, we see God graciously giving them a chance to say, I'm sorry. Giving them a chance to admit their wrong. God gave them another chance when he killed that animal to make clothing for them.
Mm.
He continued to love them.
Right.
Even though he said, you're no longer welcome in the garden. Now, my interpretation of this is that I think when Adam and Eve left the garden, where did they live? I think they lived within half a day's walk of the Garden Gate. Because Scripture tells us that Adam and his sons, Cain and Abel, offered sacrifices to God. I think that the sacrifice, the altar for their sacrifices, was at the gate of the garden.
Hmm.
Because they remembered what the garden was like. They now knew how hard life is on the outside. I think when they offered their sacrifice, I think that cherubim with the flaming sword reported to the Lord the sacrifices that were being offered. And he knew which was the appropriate sacrifice, the firstborn of the animals, and as opposed to the best crop.
Right.
That was offered. Not that the crop was bad or wrong. It just simply wasn't what God wanted. And so it boils down to a matter of whose authority. Am I obeying God, or am I obeying my own self or someone else other than God? It was the animal sacrifice that God required. And so I'm sure that they kept looking back, looking in and saying,
right.
I'm sure Adam said to his sons as they were growing up, you know, I remember when we were inside the garden. I remember when God killed that first animal in order to provide the clothing that we're wearing and that we have now been able to make clothing for you and for the others. I would like to think that they've made the connection of God's grace to them,
mm-hmm.
that God still loved them. And they understood that because they were offering sacrifices to God. They knew that God still loved them and still cared for them. And so it really boils down, if we were to put this into practical terms for today and where we're at, do we recognize that the clothing that we wear are really provisions from God, and that it's just a sign of God's continuing love and care for us every day? It may not be the best clothing. It may be secondhand clothing. That's not the point.
Right.
The point is we have something. And that is God's provision for us. And I'm just kind of throwing out the challenge there to our listeners is to think about this. Check it with Scripture yourself and find out. Prove God. Prove Him that He does continue His love and care for us every day.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and just the grace that He does show for us and the love, even though we keep messing up, as a parent now, I see that, right? Like, God's our parent, right? And keep seeing us mess up time and time again. And often when we're called out on what we've done, we want to hide or we want to deflect or say it wasn't our fault. And it's the most incredible thing, and I see it myself, to just how, you know, my little three-year-old or even my one-year-old, they do something right and they realize that what they've done is wrong. And that first inkling reaction, it's like it's born into them, right? They're too young to really have learned this from anywhere. But their first inkling, of course, is to just run and hide because they know what they've done is wrong and they don't want to face, that they're in trouble potentially for this action, or mm-hmm. they're scared of the response of mom and dad. And it's just like, or they're lying right away. It's like, well, where did that whole thing come from? Right? Like how the metaphor can certainly be made in that alone to how, you know, our own interactions with God on a day-to-day basis, where we do something that leads us astray and how we want to run and hide, but yet, much like no matter the mess that my three-year-old or my one-year-old leave behind for me, I'm still going to love them with all my heart, all my strength. Even though, yeah, some days it's like, did you really learn anything? Well, I know God's asking the same of me when I fall short every single time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, again, Pastor Rick, always appreciated getting the chance to chat with you and hear your message for us, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.
You bet.
It's all you ever wanted to know on The Rock 98.5. Until next time, have yourself a wonderful day and be blessed.